listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with economist Richard D. Wolff, co-founder of Democracy at Work and host of Economic Update. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
The position of the United States in the world, economically and politically, is the weakest it has been in my lifetime. I have watched the rise of the American empire and the success of American capitalism in the second half of the 20th century. But over the last 20 years, I have watched that turn into a decline, and the decline is visible everywhere unless you live in the United States and you consume mainstream media, where there is a level of denial that will be recorded historically as one of the great examples, not just of a declining empire, which typically has people who can't face it, who refuse to see it. You can go to Great Britain today and find people, quite a few, who think we still have the British Empire, even though everyone who isn't crazy knows that that's silly. But we are earlier in the decline phase than the British are. They've had to do it for a century. We've just had to do it for a couple of decades. And so it is fresh. And we still have political leaders, as, for example, in the presidential election just behind us, in which neither Mr. Trump nor the Democrats, either of them, who ran against him, ever said a word about a declining empire. They outdid each other in pretending otherwise. It's extraordinary. You don't solve problems by denying them. Your doctor makes that point to you every time you visit. Your psychiatrist, your therapist, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you need to face the issues that shape your life. They're not going to go away all by themselves, and yet that's the way this society is dealing with the fire in Los Angeles or each of the other problems. Instead, we fight a war in Ukraine, thousands of miles away from us, no threat to us at all in any foreseeable future, one way or another. And we are complicit in levels of horror in Gaza that make you have to wonder what happened to all of the so-called commitments to solving problems in a reasonable way. The justification of killing huge numbers of innocent people is a justification we're supposed to reject. The end doesn't justify the means. What is happening here? Well, then we have a society that is organized around a handful of people at the top making the basic economic and therefore political decisions. You know, Mr. Musk can decide with a stroke of the pen where billions of dollars go. Will they be used to produce another spaceship, or will they be used to provide basic education to people who can't afford it now? That's a fundamentally political question. But we allow it to be made by that individual. That is crazy. It's not sustainable anywhere in the world. And the proof is it never has been sustained. In the Soviet Union, you had a relatively small number of people in the government, in the apparatus of the state, with the Communist Party and so on, making the decisions for a mass of the working class. So it's capitalist. In that way, it's like the United States. The difference is you give the state the dominant position in the Soviet Union, and you give private capitalists the dominant position in the United States, the United Kingdom, and so on. Now, what is China? China is a refusal to do either of these two, which is remarkable because they began as a project of the Soviet Union, as an ally, but they broke in the 1960s. Very dramatic part of Chinese history. They broke from the Soviet Union and developed their own plan. And it's not to be a US-UK private system. It is to be a carefully curated hybrid, roughly 50% private capitalist, both Chinese and non-Chinese, and 50% state. And the whole thing supervised by a very powerful Communist Party. It's rare in history to be in a moment where we have three roughly contemporaneous experiments in three different ways of developing a capitalist system. And China, as you rightly point out, in the last 40 years has done more in the way of developing its way out of poverty than the United States and the United Kingdom could do in centuries. Any reasonably open human being would have to say, we have a lot to learn from what the Chinese did. Doesn't mean you have to copy it. It doesn't mean that you can't make criticisms and reject this or that aspect of China. And by the way, despite all of the anti-Chinese noise being fomented, American companies, European companies, politicians, they are in fact looking at the Chinese for a model. That's why you're seeing a bigger and bigger role for the state, both in Europe and in North America, grudgingly pretending otherwise, giving lip service to private enterprise. They are in fact going where they know the future now lies. And we're going to have a great denouement, the French would call it, when it is finally understood and can be spoken that we are copying much of what the Chinese have achieved because it's the rational thing to do. I'm hopeful that the new generation is finding the old people that are leading the Western countries more and more out of touch. People should remember that one of the reasons the Trump administration has to keep talking about the mandate he got in the election is because he didn't get a mandate in the election. 1.5% is the difference between the popular vote for him and the popular vote for Kamala Harris. And this is going to make his government difficult. The kinds of people he has brought in at top positions, half of them are committed to destroying the department they have been put in charge of. This is a bizarre dynamic. And most of all, I would urge people, what's going to happen in the next 4 years is 90% determined by forces over which Mr. Trump has no control. And that's not unique to him. That was true for Mr. Biden. That was true for Mr. Trump the first time. True for Bush, true for Clinton, true for Obama, all of them. We Americans have a deluded notion that the world revolves around us. And for a while, it did, which made this delusion really bizarre. Every other competing power, Britain, France, Germany, Japan, Russia, was decimated in World War II. We were not. We had a level of dominance that, of course, was historically anomalous. That doesn't happen. And when it does, it never lasts. That would have been the first thing Americans should have understood. Instead, they made the classic childish mistake. They imagined it could last forever. And so Republicans and Democrats blame each other for the fact that neither of them could do what nobody ever could do, what isn't doable. And you know what we're living through? The denouement, the coming to terms. As a professor, as I go around the United States giving talks, often to college students, when I lean across the podium and I come to that part of my story where I talk about the defeat of the United States, you should see their faces. This is the first time someone has said that to them. They don't think Americans lose wars, any of them. That's a level of self-delusion that will come back to haunt you because you're going to make terrible strategic mistakes. I went to Harvard, Stanford, and Yale. Those are the only universities I ever attended. 10 years of my life, I was bombarded by professors, some good, some bad, some in the middle. But they all had one thing to tell me. This is the best system the human being can achieve. You are very lucky to be here. And if you're critical, there's something wrong with you. Hegel taught me that things can be true and false at the same time. In fact, to expect that, and therefore to know that to understand something, you have to know the boundaries that separate it from what it isn't. Therefore, what it isn't is part of understanding what it is. When you have that in your mind, then when you want to understand capitalism, You have to understand what is it that separates it from everything else. And the minute you have that, you have an else. And now you're going to compare. That's what human beings do. When you see a cat and you see a dog, your brain begins to organize that these are different. And out of that might come a notion, I really like cats, and I don't care much for dogs, or vice versa. And part of me talks a lot about a few people at the top running the enterprise versus a democratic collective of all the people at an enterprise. I'm teaching people it could be otherwise. It always could be. And it can be now. And it can be in your lifetime. And one of the things you might want to think about is what it would be like to work in a job that was organized in a non-capitalist way, where you were as responsible for making the decisions at the top as you were in doing whatever your particular task was, because you were part of the collective that owns and operates this. You would develop differently as a human being. You would develop capacities you don't now develop. If you're a drone who comes into work, go to sit at that desk, work with that computer, you are going to be a very different person after 5 years than if you were designing how this enterprise is going to evolve. In my case, it took Hegel. Maybe in your case, if the moment is right, we're communicating, you and me, at a moment when this spark can find some dry ground.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.